Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
We might be childhood friends, and I might drive you around the bend, but I'm sure as crazy kids will work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
Hello and welcome to The Big Show. It's a big show. My name is Jack Shepherd.
My name is Tanner Greenring.
We talk about romance and romance novels and but mostly movies, but lately, but we're back on our bullshit, and we read a book today, and we liked
feels
it.
Feels good to be back in the
we should say that there's
in
a
the
guest,
pulp.
Shouldn't we?
Yeah.
Immediately. Erin LaRosa is here. Very successful romance novelist who wrote the book that we read this week, and I really liked it a lot. It's so good.
I did too. Erin, did you read the book?
Have you read the book?
Okay. Here's the thing. Reading books is really hard. So, you know, like I read parts of it, right? I've read this book probably 3 billion times. It's terrible how many times you have to read a book once you write it, because then they make you edit it and re-edit it.
Well, we have tons of notes for you for the second edition.
Excellent. I really need that. Thank you.
So don't worry about that.
Jack used to be my boss at BuzzFeed, so I used to get notes from Jack regularly.
No one knows we worked at BuzzFeed. Yeah. We've convinced them all we worked at the New York Review of Books.
Yeah.
Well, when you were at the New York Review of Books, I was your underling, your employee. So I got a lot of notes. The New York Review of Books.
Well, expect more. They're going to be harsh but fair. That's what I would know.
Yeah. That's what I know and love.
And you can just, I mean, I don't know how publishing works, but like you can just put new stuff in, right?
And I do know a lot about how publishing works, because listen, Erin, I've read upwards of
20, 30
romance books.
Are you serious? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I should just go through you this next time.
So I'll be right there with Jack, just sort of offering some tips, some tricks.
Please.
I feel like I really know my way around the space by now. Well, Jack and I are working on a...
No, you're not. You're working on a romance book?
Well, we've been workshopping one on the show here. But we'd actually love your touch on it.
Yeah.
If you take a look.
I need to see it. Yeah, I need it right now.
We're going to enlist you to help us punch it up. And this is going to be a quid pro quo. We're going to give you some, I think, hopefully helpful notes on. So we should say the novel is For Butter or For Worse.
Yes.
By Erin LaRosa.
Yep. Had to do a little pun.
It's a delight.
Thank you.
Tell me if you think this is a good description of it. Just one line. We'll describe the whole novel, but
should we describe, we should say what the show is.
Well, I know I want to do a one line description.
And you're going to just do that first.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
Perfect.
And Erin, you can weigh in, because it's basically a pitch for how to, like, for folks who might want to read this.
Please,
it's like a gender swapped Great British Bake Off, where Paul Hollywood and Mary Berry do like super nasty sex with each other.
Oh my god, yes, I love it.
Isn't
that
nice?
Almost exactly how I pitched
it. That's exactly who I had in my head the entire time I was reading it,
and that's who I was thinking of. Yeah.
Yeah, I really did pitch it that way. I was like, it's Paul Hollywood and Mary Berry were like hot 30-somethings and they had a fake date in order to save their careers. That is how I pitched it. So you really nailed it. Thank you.
Okay. All right. That was closer than I expected.
Yeah, you did a great job.
So what we like to do is describe the novel.
Pretty fun to think about, huh?
It's pretty fun to think about, isn't it?
Yeah.
What if?
What if?
And what if?
I mean, it's like kind of fun to listen to you guys talk about my book because, like, I've been living in it. And I, what is my book? Please tell me.
We call that a pitch back in the industry.
I love Great British Bake Off. I cry at Great British Bake Off, which is a weird true fact about me. There's something about just like they're. I think it's just that they're all like so nice to each other, and there's something about that. They all help. They help each other. And for some reason, it makes me cry. But the thing that I've always said, as much as I love the show, is why isn't there more fucking in it?
Tell me about it.
And you did it.
That's why I had to write this book.
Doesn't England have the watershed? Can't they just do like a Great British Bake Off like after 11
Great
p.m.
British
or whatever?
Bake Off after dark.
Yeah.
After hours. I love it.
What a good idea.
That's what's missing from my GBBO as well, Great British Bake Off. When are they getting to the fucking y'all?
Come on.
I don't know. Haven't seen it.
We baked all these nice cakes, and then now what? And then it's like, oh, the show's over. Come on.
No, I don't think so.
Great British Bake Off has never been the same since Mary Berry left, and it's been a calamitous downhill slide since then.
Okay, that's
to the point where it's almost unwatchable now.
On TikTok, I do a lot of deep dives into the Great British Bake Off because I love it. Obviously, I wrote this book and like basically was inspired by that show. But I do a lot of deep dives on Paul Hollywood because he's like a pretty like bad dude. He's like not a great dude. But I still watch
Doesn't
the
seem
show
like a great
and
dude.
Like obsessed with the show. Yeah, he's like cheated on his now ex-wife like so many times, and part of the reason why Mary Berry left was because she was like best friends with Paul's ex-wife and was so pissed off at how he was treating her.
That's tough. Don't
great.
I can't know this stuff.
I still watch it and I like just pretend I don't know that fact, but
well, Prue was recently in the news. She was like, I used to drown kids.
Oh my god. Jack,
that's literally true.
That's literally true.
I guess she thought it was a funny anecdote. I can't even talk about it because it's like it's the same thing where it's like I love these people, I like how nice and fun and British they are, and I don't need to know about that. Prue,
he wrote a memoir, Tanner, and like was like, I as a child, my mother like would take in orphaned cats, but sometimes there were too many and she made me drown a bag of them in the bathtub or something insane. And I was like, maybe don't tell anyone about that you just like murdered cats. Like, I don't need to know that. I don't want to know that. Like,
I'm telling you guys, Mary Berry was the glue holding that whole show together. And then Sue and Mel left. And then it was this like, this
stop
clown
it.
Car of
no
hosts.
Stop it. They're great. Speaking of cats, Aaron, somebody wrote at the beginning of your book, I don't know who it was, you should look into it because it's in the third person. So somebody wrote about you. She lives in Los Angeles with her husband and three daughters, and then in parentheses it says one human, two felines. That must have been a surprise.
Yeah,
was that one litter?
Well, look,
was it the human was first?
I did acquire the two feline cat daughters first. They're my first and second born, and the human was more of the
surprise. That was the surprise.
Where I said, this is different. This is not actually a cat.
Yeah, they're not as furry and they're not as nice.
Right.
Presumably two different fathers.
She never purrs on me. Look, we don't really talk about that in the house, but
it was rude of me to even ask.
Yeah.
Right. I didn't say it. You did, but thank you. Yeah. But I do have two cats. I'm surprised none of them are in here yet, like screaming at me, but probably by the end of this, we'll see one of them.
Oh, I can't wait to get cats back in my life, you guys.
Yeah.
What happened? Where are your cats?
We've been catless for many years now.
And
we have a dog who now probably has Lyme disease because he has a bullseye shaped protrusion around a tick bite.
Tanner always has some new dumb dog calamity.
Connecticut is really scary, y'all.
They call us Yankees, but it's like it's tough out here, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The woods are full of ticks. We should get back on topic, which is Aaron LaRosa, your book, we should mention, though, because I don't think we have yet. Well, I guess you mentioned that Jack was your boss at the New York Review of Books.
Yeah.
But more than that, all, the three of us were friends and colleagues for many years.
That's right. I love that you're doing like a book, like a podcast on romance stuff, like romance movies or romance books. It just really brought us all back together.
It's beautiful.
I was just saying this to Jack earlier too, because I don't know if you know this, our listeners do, and I guess it's probably time to explain it now, but we have a pretty hot piece of intellectual property too that's butter adjacent.
Tell.
And this is an opportunity for you as well, and I think that's something that we can, I think I don't want to like air this too much on the podcast, but I think there's like a real business, like,
well, we'd have to get our here. Our like guys to talk to your guys, and we,
because we're doing butter stuff, we're doing love stuff. You're doing butter stuff, you're doing love stuff. What if we put it all together? You know,
well, look, as you know, I love business, so yeah, I want to hear more about the business and be part of the business. Yeah. This sounds perfect.
Okay, so we'll bring that in, Tanner. Thank you for just kind of
now's the time.
Table setting. This is something I like to say in meetings. I just want a table set.
Yeah, let's table set.
Yeah, and so we're table setting here with some butter stuff. But first, I think it's what we like to do often when we begin these shows is we like to describe the novel, don't we?
Oh, we should describe the novel. Yeah,
we should say what happens.
We do it quick, just to get it out.
We
of
do
the
it
way.
Quick. So I guess I'm not going to do it. And so,
well, and why would I do it?
Given that that's true. Which one of you wants to describe this novel in 60 seconds?
Now, I want to revisit the very premise. Because why wouldn't you do it? You're the most eloquent. You're the most well-spoken. Okay. You've got great diction.
Out of the three of us?
You've got great diction.
Yeah.
You're observant. I'm sure you remember all the characters' names. I never remember the characters' names.
We could split it into... You want it? Should we just be...
You always get mad at me because I waste like 30 seconds trying to guess the character.
Tanner's so bad at this, Aaron. So we try to do it in 60 seconds just so we can like say what happened and then we talk about the parts of it. And Tanner is so bad at it. But what if we do...
Yeah.
I think, Aaron, you get the last word on this. What if we do 20 seconds each and pass it off?
Perfect.
This sounds entertaining, so I'm in. It sounds like something that might end horribly, so I'm absolutely in.
It's going to have to be like a baton pass, because I think we just run the 1 60-second timer.
Yeah.
And we'll just have to kind of synchronize.
Or do you want me to time you? I can time you.
Well, you're going to have to do
maybe
part
we
of
need a fourth
seconds.
Party.
Okay. So wait, I'm doing the middle part?
What do you want? You're the guest. You're our honored
guest.
I'll
be in the sandwich. I'll do the middle.
You'll
part.
Be in the sandwich.
That sounds great.
Do you want to also do the timer, or do you want?
Yeah, I've got it pulled up right
okay.
here.
Okay. 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 She knows. This is a professional here. She knows what she's doing.
Yeah.
Jeez, and please. I feel like I was
please.
Going to warn you
again. I love business.
You're so good at it. You've got a timer ready.
Thank you.
Yeah, she's got a timer queued up.
Thank you. Okay, you ready? Are you ready?
Okay,
Jack?
Am I going to start? And then I'll call out your name, and then you do 20 seconds, but then you're going to have to call out Tanner.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you to stop, and then I'll go, and then I'll
okay.
say go.
Oh, perfect. She knows what she's doing. She loves business. She knows what she's doing.
Glad,
I feel like
I'm glad Aaron's timing, because there is a significant delay, too.
Okay, perfect.
Mm-hmm. Which is helpful.
Okay, Jack, on the count of three. 1, 2, 3.
Two people are on a big baking cooking show, and it's called The Next Cooking Champ, and it's Leo, and he's handsome and has very nice pecs, but he's crass, and it's Nina, and she's beautiful, but also, guess what? She's comes across as mean on the
Stop.
Show. She's like,
you gave us so much work to do, Jack.
Okay.
Okay.
That was table setting.
Okay,
introduced the two main characters.
Yes. Okay. Ugh,
Aaron, you have 20 seconds now.
Okay.
And then Tanner, I need you to think about bringing us home. Okay, go.
Okay. Nina and Leo have an explosive on-air fight. They end up storming out. And in the middle of this, the paparazzi catch them in a compromising position that makes it look like they are maybe together. And their fans love it. And suddenly... Nina and Leo have to decide, do they want a fake date in order to save their careers, or will it destroy them completely? Okay, Tanner.
Wow, that was so good.
And then they do fake date for a while. And then they have a series of miscommunications and misunderstandings because he has terrible anxiety problems, and she doesn't know about them. And he ends up in the hospital, and then they decide it. To... Oh, God.
We leave on a cliffhanger.
Wow.
Do he ends up in a hospital, and then as far as our listeners know, he's just died. Like, he ends
we'll
up in a hospital?
Know. You have to get
you
the
read the book.
Find out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does he die in this romance book? Wow. Crazy.
Well, we've got some pitches for stuff you're going to need to change, so it actually doesn't matter what happens. Because this isn't the final version.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay. We're still just workshopping here.
Right.
It's like moving magnetic poetry around a refrigerator.
I mean, maybe that's a good place to start. So this is an opportunity for you, Aaron. We've mentioned this up top. I think there's a real opportunity for some synergy and working together. Tanner and I have some extremely lucrative and successful butter-related IP. And we're willing for the right deal and the right alliance to find a way to bring our butter IP and your butter IP together
family.
And maybe make your book better and also take some of your book stuff and we can put it in our ads for BetterHelp.
Because our ads for BetterHelp are getting a little stale.
Yeah. We could pump it up. You know, having heard absolutely nothing about your products, I have to say yes.
Okay, good.
Absolutely, I'm in. Yeah, being given no details and no specifics. Yeah.
Well, I'm got a mind for business. People know that. So
I think it's smart. And I think this is potentially new to a lot of our listeners too, who presumably
who
skip past the ads because this is a character we invented for an online therapy commercial that we do every week.
Yeah.
Wow.
Kind of mocking the very premise by constantly mixing up the name of the therapy, the online therapy, with the name of an online butter service called butterhelp.com.
Yeah.
which is run by a man named Butterman from the Pearl Jam song.
Wow.
Can't find the Butterman.
Yeah. Are you familiar with that song?
Of course I am. What am I, a monster?
And this series of commercials has been running for
three
years.
Wow. So you really need my book at this point to just come in and...
I mean, it's rare that like a really hot piece of butter-related IP like comes into... Like hooves.
We've been up and down the spectrum. His nemesis is Mean Mr. Margarine. His sidekick is, Butter Lad?
Butter Lad, and we've got Gee Gal, who doesn't really...
Gee Gal, who's sort of like a femme
fatale. It's hard to find butter stuff.
So how is the book going to... what is your vision for it?
Well, maybe we just put Butterman in the book?
Well, we have this whole cast of characters, and I'm thinking, I think someone needs to fill the void left by the MCU, and there's no reason why your universe and our characters can't do that.
So it's a Butterverse type of scenario. I mean, I think we maybe start by just, you could put Butterman in the book.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think,
I mean, this Leo character.
Sure, I see that. Yeah.
He's got nice agent abs. Do you think your editor and your agent are still up?
You know what? What time is it in New York? 10:18? Yeah. And if they're not, I'll just kind of call them constantly until they wake up.
That would be good.
I think that'll go really well. Yeah. Because I think that these changes need to be made, I don't... like, immediately. Immediately.
So you're into it.
Obviously. I mean, Butterman, why didn't I think of that in the first place?
No, we were wondering that too.
Yeah.
I think we're gonna have to have a pretty tough conversation with the online therapy company that pays us so much money.
What about just as a start as a new title for Butterman for Worse?
For Butterman for Worse. It really rolls off the tongue. Yeah. I really like that. I think that would be like, you know, my book is kind of like medium level clever in the title. And now it's like, wow.
It's right up there.
Off the charts. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's catchy. Okay. Your book right now, like, it'll catch an eye on the bookshelf for sure. Yeah. But it's not jarring, you know?
But is it going to like upset people so much that they have to pick it up and then buy it to find out what's in it?
Well, yeah, now people are going to pick it up and they're going to be like, oh, you know, it's business. A book about like some kind of a butter-related superhero. And then it's not. It's really good. It's very good. But then he's not in it. He's not really in it at the moment.
Well, you know, I need to bring in a new demo, and I don't know that like superhero fans are necessarily picking up my book, and this could really bring them in.
Okay.
Look, this
and he's a complex
really well.
Dude. It's ads for therapy, so he's pretty like emotionally vulnerable.
And there's a lot of therapy in this book. So it's all working. It's all happening, as they say.
Jack, one of your favorite things is to sort of like vicariously have therapy done on you via your friends and loved ones.
Uh-huh.
Did you pick up any, there was some good therapy in this book. Did you pick up any tips about anxiety?
What does he do? He has a panic attack. He doesn't tell anyone that he needs help about his panic attacks.
Doesn't see a therapist.
And he doesn't see a therapist.
Until the end.
And I had, so there's a whole like, there's a whole sequence at the end that is like very triggering, which is that she sends the text message that was meant for someone else.
Yeah.
To him. And then he turns off his phone.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So that, I don't know. I needed therapy possibly from that.
You're like, fuck. Yeah, I definitely got some feedback on that as well from people who were like, come on. Like,
it's just like everyone's worst nightmare.
And it's something that I've personally done. And I am someone who like genuinely has anxiety and panic attacks. So it's really pulling from my life experience. This is more of a memoir than a fiction book. I don't know if you knew that.
Memoir of Butterman.
It's happened to me. Ooh, it's going to happen to Butterman once I write him in.
Do you have specifics that you can share? You may not. I don't want to put you on the spot of texting
what?
Someone the wrong thing.
Yeah. I communicate with my mom every single day. Like I call her. We have this relationship where I talk to her a lot. And so like she's always at the top of my like little texting feed. And so I was getting ready to go to Vegas, as one does when you live in LA and it's only a 4-hour drive. This was in my 20s. And my friend was going to pick me up in his car. And I remember this very clearly because I had to call her immediately and be like, I really am just so sorry about what I did. But my friend was picking me up. He was like, I'm on my way. And I was like, I've got the drugs. And I sent it to my mom. Because I had been like twiddling on my phone and just going in and out of conversations. Oh, no. And like saw it. And I tried to like, I was like, can you delete a text? And my mom, like, I could see that she was like the typing bubbles, you know? And so I just like called her and I was like, Mom, that was a bad joke. I'm so sorry. And she was like, she's from New York, so she's not an idiot. She was like, okay. Like,
please be safe in Vegas.
Yeah. She was like, I know where you're going this weekend. Like, okay. Thank you. So yeah, it has happened to me. Yeah.
That's horrifying.
PSA.
Yeah. And it's intense in the novel. She like texts her ex, like,
yes,
we're always bad things always happen when we're together, just at the moment where it seems like
they're gonna get together
the two, but we, no one knows whether they do, because it does end in this moment where he's in, it's weird, it was a weird choice of you to end where he like goes to the hospital and then like
I know
it's over,
we don't know, you know. That's the end.
I know, isn't that weird? I just ended the book right there. I was like, you guys fill in the blanks.
You just got tired of it.
Yeah, well, it's hard to write a book, guys.
It seems hard.
Yeah, it seems tough.
So you said, possibly jokingly, this is autobiographical. I want to ask you a real thing.
Yeah.
I may be wrong about this, but so like some of the surprises in this book are around like the two characters making choices that are like good for their lives and good for their happiness and their love and like what's important for themselves and not. Like, I'm gonna like climb up the ladder of my career.
Yeah.
And I feel like that some of those things are true for you. Like, yeah, you have, like, had, like, you know, at New York Review of Books and at the place you went to next, InfoWars.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's like a neck, like the place you went to next. That was like,
it's like you had an opportunity to like go and like be a big shot there, and then you were like, no, I'm gonna fucking like do my own thing and like follow like what makes me happy. It like, is that, I don't know if I was reading too much into that, just knowing you. Like, is that, did I catch something, or is that not, is that fake?
I think you did catch something, but it is funny because sometimes people will say those things to me, and I'll be like, oh, I didn't really realize that I had put that in there, but it's true. Like, so what Jack's alluding to is, like, once I left the New York Review of Books, I went to Netflix and I went to Amazon Video, InfoWars, and Staples.com. And I, you know, was basically on that track.
Turned to just it
kind
around.
Of keep becoming an executive and, like being at these bigger companies in LA for the rest of my life and, like, having a nice cushy life. But I actually started having panic attacks when I was at these companies, and it was because I was so, like, unhappy, just like deeply, deeply unhappy. And I was like, I think I need to figure out why I'm having these panic attacks. And I was going to therapy, and I was like, I kept saying, I was like, I think I just need to quit my job. And they were like, do it. But it's really scary to just quit, like, when you're on that track of, like, you
it's
can
horrifying.
See it's really hard. And, like, you know, especially when there's money involved, where you're like, well, like, but I like money. Like, I like being able to, like, eat and these types of things. So it was like a series of conversations with my therapist, with my husband, with my parents, like, trying to figure it out. But yeah, I did eventually just, like, fully leave, committed to writing this book, and, like, yeah, in For Butter or Worse, like, I kind of intentionally, and I knew this, I was like, I don't want their happily ever after to be, like, perfectly wrapped in a bow where they get their show back and everything is hunky-dory.
It's even better because, like, now they're in a relationship. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just like, I think I really want, like, her to fail, and I want him to fail in different ways, and then they have to build themselves back up with each other. So yeah, it was like important to me that it wasn't just so neatly wrapped up, but they end up finding something that is much better for both of them, and that allows them to be together. Thank you for picking up on that, Jack.
Yeah, that's something I really liked about it. It was just like, it didn't like, it ties up the things that are important and not necessarily like they get like every fucking
yeah
success.
Well, because, you know, I like reading books like that too, where it's like, I know that everything's gonna be like beautiful, perfect, but I had in my mind, I was like, I just don't think that's realistic. And I think, like, she's imploding her career and it's going to be okay anyways, because she'll find a different path. But, like, yeah.
I have a pretty similar note here, but maybe we want to...
Perfect.
Do we want to go to break first, or should we talk about Leo's dick now?
Yeah, let's talk about Leo's dick, and then we'll take a quick break. Yeah.
You want to talk about his dick now?
Yeah.
I do.
Is this our hit segment?
It's a hit segment, so I'm going to need you to put on this, like, paper apron and, like, little paper hat, Aaron, because
we're
stepping into the butcher shop. There's no joy to be had here. We do this with, like, cold, mechanical precision. We take no joy in this, and
we make no judgments. Yeah.
But we do analyze how big the Binguses are in all the books.
Yeah. And we're Bingus Butchers. And you are too.
And we're
today.
Bingus Butchers. And now you're a Bingus Butcher. And it's a segment called
Girth Check.
Or How Long That Dong.
You can call it How Long That Dong. We haven't landed on. Yeah, it's either called Girth Check or How Long That Dong.
We've never done it with the author before, though.
Yeah.
I'm guessing
from context clues that you've written in the book.
Yeah. You know how long that dong.
Yeah.
I have an idea. I'd love to get your thoughts.
Well, we're Bingus Butchers, so you're asking the right people. But we take no pleasure in this.
Yeah, we take no pleasure in this.
Thank
we
you
offer
for making
no
that
judgment.
Clear.
We pass no judgment at all.
Yeah. So Tanner, do you have a portion of the book where
I'm going to read
that,
a little bit of the
Aaron
book and I hope,
revealed it? Okay,
and this is another thing we've never done with the author on, and I hope it's not like illegal.
No,
yeah. If this is illegal,
let me just
do let
get
us know.
My lawyer on real quick. Okay, go ahead.
Leo's normally soft brown eyes were nearly jet black. He looked up at her, leaning his cheek against the leg he'd propped up, and gave a small smirk. She wasn't sure what his expression meant, but she was eyeing his still prominent length.
Okay.
Now, I've looked up prominent, a word that I thought I knew what it meant.
Yeah.
But I thought maybe I could find, maybe it's got some,
secondary meaning.
And that's what I found. So I did a search for, I went to Google and I said, define prominent.
Yeah.
And it says important or famous. So that's maybe. But the second one is projecting from something protuberant. And then there's a little example here.
Okay.
It says, a man with big prominent eyes like a lobster's.
A lobster's. And that's going to help us.
So now I'm following that trail down.
And how big's a lobster's eye?
Lobster's pea-sized spherical eyes are perforated with millions of holes.
Okay.
So I think...
Okay, so now we know, and this isn't in our purview, but
I'm not a forensicist, you know. I'm a Bingus butcher.
We're not bones, you know.
Right. You don't have the DNA kit out.
But we know that it's pea size, and we know that it's pea size, and we notice that it's got, what is it, voluminous holes?
Perforated with millions of holes.
With millions.
I think you said
of
millions
holes.
Of them. Millions
yeah.
Of them.
Yeah, millions. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So is that
accurate?
And it's nice having you here because most of the time it's just speculation. I mean, informed and speculation, but how does that, sound right?
Yeah, as I was writing that scene, I was like, okay, I want to get in the mood. What should I think about? And I just, the thing that came to mind was like lobster's eyes.
Lobster's, yeah.
So yeah. And that's when the word prominent, just like a light bulb, like, bing.
Yeah, it's an easy step.
You've read that Google definition so many times.
Well, I had to. I wanted to be very accurate, obviously, in my descriptions of Leo's girth. So,
Perfect. Well, this is so validating.
Yeah, thank you very much.
I mean, it makes me feel like all of our calls on this kind of stuff have been right so far.
I've been right. Yeah,
I can't imagine they wouldn't be. You're the experts.
Well, and the Bingus Butchers, I mean, this is what they say when they say do the work. And the Bingus Butchers are just doing the work. But it's nice.
Just doing the work. Putting the hours in.
Just doing the work. It's nice to have somebody say, you know what? Good job.
Yeah. Good job, Tanner and Jack. Yeah. Thank you.
I don't
you.
Need it, but I appreciate it, you know?
Yeah.
I take my pride in my work.
Yeah.
Obviously, I can tell.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break and replenish her wine. And then we'll be back with more fantastic hit segments.
Great.
Hey everybody, it's Jack again with a brand new update about the delightful family mystery mobile game, June's Journey. I have been making real progress solving puzzles and getting stuff to put on my cool estate in the fun world of mystery, danger, and romance that's conjured up by June's Journey, a game set in the roaring 20s about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner, unfortunately, is still pretty convinced by the ad brief we were sent that he has actually been assigned on a real secret mission to uncover the killer of June's sister, Claire. The good news is that after some extremely frustrating conversations with the unbelievably patient people at the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority, I was able to clear up the fracas regarding the steamship that Tanner rented. But the bad news is that, if I'm reading this hastily scrawled missive correctly, he appears to have gotten himself horribly lost in a hedge maze in Würzburg, which I think is in Germany. According to the secret code on the back of the letter, which, to be clear, he's just written this part upside down. He is in good spirits and he is hot on the tail of Grandma Heath, and I shouldn't worry, but could I please send him 40 ducats in an unmarked envelope so that he can bribe the butler, which sounds both complicated and questionably legal. I'm going to keep you guys posted on this, but in the meantime, you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. I have to go. There is apparently a carrier pigeon at the door with a new message from Tanner.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We're back. We got a lot of important segments to get to. I do think maybe it would be nice if we started with a name generator.
Perfect. Oh, and this is something all three of us are so well practiced at.
Everyone can do it. And Aaron, don't think we didn't notice your headlines in the book.
Oh, thank you. I was waiting for you to bring that up.
Don't think
I have
didn't
all
notice.
These like BuzzFeed style headlines. And I think I name drop BuzzFeed a few times, maybe once.
BuzzFeed comes up.
I don't know.
You keep mentioning BuzzFeed. You never once mentioned New Yorker Review of Books for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Sorry, guys.
When we all work together at New York Review of Books, we had a tool whereby we weren't allowed to publish our pieces until we had written 10 different headlines for them. And I was just like, I was so proud reading your book because I was just like, God damn it. She just got it down to a fucking science.
She really did it. She can write headlines still.
Yeah, but that's so there are a lot of very still funny like yeah. chapter openers where like they're a celebrity couple and so everybody's talking about like will they, won't they? So a lot of the chapters open with 10 headlines from around the web. And they're all fucking great and it's clearly the work of a master who spent years in the mines.
You have no idea. I've had people comment on that a lot where they're like, well, I remember reading your stuff at BuzzFeed and now I see your BuzzFeed headlines again and it was so fun. And I was like, yes, it's working. My New York Review of Books headlines. It's so great.
So what we're going to do is a post type that you'll be familiar with. It's a name generator. We like to do name generators. And the name generator that I want to do today is what? Are you? Making for the finale of The Next Cooking Champ.
Ooh.
Okay.
So you have a few really nice descriptions of the dishes that they make on the show.
Yeah.
And so Tanner and I have a site that we go to for our name.
It feels
generators.
A little strange inviting someone else into Mockaroo.
I know.
I feel like Christian Grey inviting you into our...
okay.
Yeah, well, do you want to do that? So, yeah, Aaron, like you have to say what's... let's just do it. Aaron, you have to say what's behind that door.
What's behind that door?
Okay, and then what do we say? My Xbox.
Just my Xbox and stuff.
And then you say... No, we say my playroom. And you say like your Xbox and stuff. Sorry.
You say what?
Let's just start again.
Yeah,
okay.
What's behind that door?
It's my playroom.
Our playroom.
Yeah.
Oh, like Xboxes and stuff?
My helicopter's outside. You can leave.
Just say the word and you can leave at any time.
Yeah.
And then that's how we invite you into... and then you go to mockaroo.com.
And then now you go to mockaroo.com.
Wow. Okay. Should I go right now?
Yeah, let's all go to Mockaroo.
Is it M-A-C-A-R-O-O?
It just autofills. I wrote M on my computer and it was like, yeah, looks like we're taking another ride on mockaroo.com. Tanner, I want to do some business talk with you real quick.
Please.
Tell me what you think is
Aaron's
best
great
here.
At business.
I know, but this is like very specific podcast business. Okay. What's best? Mm. I've collected three different recipes from Aaron's book that we can name generate. So we could each do one, or we could just pick one and each do the one.
I think we're each going to have to do one. Okay. We're three contestants.
Okay, so we're three contestants.
These are our signature
Okay,
dishes.
So here's what's happening. We are three contestants on the
our
next
Showstoppers
Cooking Champ, hosted by Leo and Nina, who hate each other, but not really. So I'm going to name three recipes, and then we'll each name generate the recipes.
They do a lot of sex.
Was it pleasurable to read, at least?
No. Well, here's something you need to know about us is we're quite prudish, and we actually have a pretty hit segment called
I don't think we're going to have time for that.
Which you probably won't have time for.
We do have a segment where we read the sex scenes. We may not have time for that, especially if we keep talking about this right now instead of getting to our name generator. We'd love
name
sorry yes.
You know what, they're good because I read your acknowledgments, which I hope it's okay to say are mostly about not wanting your parents to read the sex scenes in your book.
Yeah, yeah, and they sure did, and so did my mother-in-law. And my book narrator is my cousin, Mella Lee, who is like a very talented voiceover actress. And I, in advance, like messaged her and I was like, look, I'm really sorry, but like, you're going to have to read like a 69 scene and my parents might listen to you reading my book.
Yours is the first 69 scene we've read.
Mm-hmm,
it's so weird to me that
it's not in it a lot
has done it. I know, because it's such a fun thing to write, and I don't know why no one else has done it. But I actually have seen other authors now getting on it. So, okay. But I feel like I was the first. I was like, I'm
the
here.
Pioneer.
I did it.
We can confirm that we've read a lot of romance novels, and I think that's the first one I've read.
This is the first
that has
69. Yeah.
And I had a thought where you were just like, holy shit, man, no one's done it before. I'm going to be the pioneer.
Yes,
so good.
That's how I felt. I was like, I don't think anyone's done this, but I'm going to do it. Why not?
That's not the segment. The segment is the name generator.
Yes.
Everyone's Mockaroo. On Mockaroo.com. Here's how it's going to work. I'm going to give
as
us
as far
each-
as we know, this is Aaron's method.
Yeah, no, maybe this is how she does it. This is how maybe she did the sex scenes. But listen, I'm going to give us each a dish. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to, I'll do it arbitrarily, and then we'll judge who has the best dish. Tanner, you're going to be first.
Yes.
Here's the line. Should I tell you about my main? Samantha, the first contestant, asked hesitantly. Sorry,
so
I did
I'm
that
Samantha?
Bad. No, I got to reread that. Should I tell you about my main? Samantha, the first contestant, asked hesitantly. I'm making pan-seared scallops, seaweed salad, and a squid ink-infused black bun. So we've got...
Okay, so I think I need one food, right?
Scallops.
You need a lot of foods. I mean, pan-seared, so it's like a type of food.
What's the first one? Pan-seared scallops?
Pan-seared scallops. Maybe that's just a food. Let's not overcomplicate it. So we need product grocery, probably, for this, right?
Product grocery.
So, Aaron, Mockaroo is a site that generates like random things.
Yeah, I see like field name.
Like business
type.
People
yeah,
use it for serious things.
Yeah, and folks at home, folks are playing along at home.
Okay.
So Tanner, you're just going to do this. You're making food, and a food.
I'm gonna borrow some phrases from the world of cuisine, and I'm gonna say that I'm gonna have an antipasto.
Okay.
Mm.
And then a salad course.
An entree.
And the entree is what, Jack? Crusted with something?
So I'll just say it again. Pan-seared scallops, seaweed salad, and a squid ink-infused black bun. I'm putting it all in the chat here.
Okay. So so I'm going to have an antipasto, a salad course, and then an entree infused with something.
Yeah. Okay, so
and they're all going to be product grocery.
So it's all this is what's great about Mockaroo. Mockaroo will generate grocery products, so you can just do all product grocery for that.
Okay, and should I tell you what I got?
I want to hear. Yeah.
So you guys are the two. You're the Mary Berry and Paul Hollywood.
We're Mary Berry and Paul Hollywood.
And I'll let you guys decide who's who.
Okay, Aaron, let's move on to Tanner. It sounds like he's been working away pretty hard at this. It's the semifinals, and I'm really excited to see what this dish is.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, he's been having problems all season, so I'm not sure.
You're the mean one. Tanner, it's okay. She's the mean one.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate the feedback, and I hope not to disappoint you.
What are you making for us today, Tanner?
Well, I have a three-course meal here, and I'd like to start with the antipasto, if I can.
Okay, yeah.
And it's a little, it's sort of like a little ramekin.
Okay.
Little tiny ramekin. And it's full of lobster base.
Lobster what?
Base. It's sort of just like when you like boil a lobster, the like leftover water.
Yeah.
It's just a little like ice cold ramekin of that.
Okay. Lobster base, and that's the that's just to whet our appetites. And then what's that going to be followed with?
The salad course. Thanks for asking.
Yes. Yeah.
Piping jelly, all colors. It says here.
Okay.
And I think that's like frosting. Like you have a piping bag full of jelly and you use it on like.
And so it's just going to be one of the colors cookies. Of this. That's not very interesting.
All the colors.
Oh, all of the colors. Okay.
And then once you're done with that, I've got a lovely, I've got a lovely cheese brick with pepper.
A cheese brick with pepper.
Uh-huh. And that's been infused with peppermint schnapps.
Well,
according to Makaru.
As, you know, as expected, Tanner is using flavors that I would not necessarily combine together. But he's been doing this again all season.
It sort of takes you on a journey, though. You know, starting with the lobster, ending on the
peppermint schnapps.
It feels like something you might be able to eat until it doesn't. That was the journey I went on. I was like, I can eat lobster and cheese. And then I thought, nope. Not with the
well, what do you think? One of you think you can do better?
I think Aaron can do better.
But here's the problem. I'm on Makaru, and I feel like I actually don't know how to eat.
That's okay. That's okay. We can help
it's
you.
A nightmare.
We can help
It's a nightmare of a sight.
We love Makaru so much. And folks are playing along at home. So, Aaron, I'm going to read your entree, your dish, and I'm also going to walk you through makaru.com, which is not
Thank
made
you.
For us, but I think we are 95% of its traffic.
Okay, great.
Okay. Nina was eerily calm as Freddie, the next contestant, described her entree of tamarind and balsamic braised beef short ribs, sunchoke and truffle puree, and sauteed chanterelle mushrooms. So, Tanner, I think we need product grocery and product grocery braised product grocery.
Uh-huh.
And then
so that's
we need
three product grocery fields.
Product grocery and product grocery puree. And then sauteed product grocery. So that's six. So Aaron, here's what you need to do. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 fields. You'll
it sounds
that?
Complicated, Aaron. It
it's
is.
Not.
Yeah.
In each type, I want you to click and go to product parentheses grocery.
Okay.
One,
doing it.
And you just do it 6 times, and you get them all. So once you've done that, let us know.
Can you hear my cat just screaming in the background?
Oh, I thought that was your baby. Usually I was like, oh man, bedtime didn't take.
Damn, no, it would be so mean if my husband just brought her down here and was like, "Sorry, your podcast is over." Okay, I've got all product grocery right now.
So now go to where it says rows. Underneath that, and turn that from 1,000 to 1.
This is ridiculous. Who made this?
it's a perfect so size.
It's very kind people.
This is so funny. Okay, go on. People.
You've done that?
I wish they sold now, merch.
I would literally wear Makaru t-shirt. Now hit preview all the way down at the bottom.
Okay, I got it.
So you have 6 product groceries, and so I need you to plug that back into the text.
Okay.
And so, Tanner, it's season 7 of our cooking show. We're very excited. I think this is the best season yet. And guess who's made it to the finals? It's Aaron LaRosa.
Wow, I can tell you're excited. And then maybe like I point down, and when you look down, I bop you in the nose. To sort of like funny. Indicate yeah. that I'm like
yeah,
the kind of class clown guy.
And what are you making for us today, Aaron LaRosa? What's your showstopper for the big finale?
Okay, I really wanted to combine some interesting flavors here. So I will be making you a entree of margarine with aspic.
That's just to firm it up.
Yeah, and on top of that, yeah, will be striped red like mints, like you would get sort of at Christmas,
like candy
the holidays.
Mints.
Yeah.
Like at a Chinese uh-huh. restaurant that they give you at the end.
Uh-huh, like in a bowl. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Now this is all over crushed cream soda.
It's a cream soda. It's like a broth.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Margarine and cream soda go so good together.
Well, I'm so glad you said that, because on the side, and just wait for it, you're going to get a little chutney sauce.
Okay. Oh, lovely.
Okay. And,
I hope it's mint to go with the mint from the aspic loaf.
Absolutely. And maybe the creme de la creme here is salted beef. That's going to be the real highlight.
It's just salted yeah. beef.
Salted okay. beef, which okay. I think goes well with this book. Salted beef. That should have been my subtitle.
Some bold flavors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're somehow going to make this all into the shape of your childhood home.
Yeah, I am going to use toothpicks, and they're very sturdy. They should hold up the salted beef quite well.
Okay. That's really nice.
We're sending you to Hollywood. Is that right?
Yeah. You're on your way to Hollywood. So now, I guess, should we do mine? Or
yeah, I want to hear yours.
Mine's a lot.
Okay, well then let's
yeah, yours,
not do it.
Yours is a lot. I'm looking at it.
It's maybe too much.
It would be a pretty big wasted opportunity if we had.
Yeah, we had Aaron on the show and we didn't do our hit segment about our
romance
book.
Author on the show yeah. and didn't introduce her to our book.
Okay, so
ooh, okay, yeah.
Aaron, this is a segment we like to do on the show. We haven't done it in
months.
Because
we've been watching a lot of movies.
Yeah, and there's just not an opportunity.
Unless we start writing a script, which we can start working on, I guess.
Here you are. Tanner and I are working on a romance novel. We've helped you, I think, maybe almost too much with your
book. Yeah, with my revisions. Yeah,
we'll certainly want to cut
Butterman in it. We're going to cut Leo, I think we should say. He's great. He's great.
Well,
we
can only have one Butterman. There can't yeah. be two. Yeah.
What's his brother's name again?
Gavin.
Gavin. Cutting him.
Yeah.
Gavin's
yeah.
out.
Oh. Okay, okay.
But
okay.
we can put me and Mr. Margarine.
Me and Mr. Yeah. Margarine. He's Butterman's nemesis.
Yeah.
Wow.
He can be.
So we've helped you a lot with your novel, and now it's Turnabout is Fair Play.
Yep.
Time to pay the piper.
And this is a segment that we like to call Love in the Time of Horses.
Yeah,
which
by
is the
Jack
name
Shepherd
of
and Tanner Greenring,
our novel, Love in the Time of Horses.
Wow. Now is this a like kind of shifter novel where the person is shifting into a horse, or is
glad
it
glad you asked.
Oh, so this is good. Yeah, this is interesting.
Well, there are
stuff.
No. We should say uh-huh. first of all, there are no people. It's. Uh-huh. So the premise of this segment is that we borrow from each of the books we read, and then
right.
just sort of like
we take
know,
the best
and by borrow
stuff
we mean like
it in our book.
We take it and we like make it our own, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of copy paste and change a few words.
Change
well,
a
we're
few
learning.
Words.
No, that's not a great way of saying it. If I could push back on that, we're learning. Yeah. We're expert romance novelists ourselves, and we're learning from our source material, and we're taking the things that we've learned and applying it back into our novel.
Yeah, yeah.
And it has been months, and I'm not sure I can remember every single
let's just
detail,
say the broad strokes.
But I think broadly, it's about the war between horses and vampires.
Yes.
Oh, there are also vampires?
They're one of the main factions.
That's a deal breaker.
Are there any horse vampires? Just a quick question.
I think so. Yeah. I think there's like a blade-like character who he's like he's either a horse that is a vampire that hunts vampires, or he's a vampire that's also a horse that hunts horses. And I don't think we've landed on that yet.
Okay.
Everyone else who's not a vampire or horse is a Gungan. And I don't know if you're familiar with Gungans.
I'm actually not. I would love for you to tell me. Yeah. Oh,
Jar Jar Binks from Star Wars.
It's really nice that you have like a Jar Jar Binks right behind you for me to reference.
You'd be surprised at how often it comes up.
Maybe I wouldn't be surprised.
And I believe the heroine is called Lady
Great Cleft.
Great Cleft.
Wow.
And she's a Gungan. And her love interest is a vampire, and his name is Lord Swolewood.
Lord Swolewood.
And I'm sorry, the love interest is also a Gungan?
He's a
vampire.
Ooh,
wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's been, I think, kidnapped by the horses.
Two different worlds. Kidnapped by the horses.
Yeah. And then can you remember any of the other details of the book?
Maybe Aaron can help us reset this, because I'm feeling like one of the things that we haven't put in it is love. Like, we know they don't like each other, and then we think, what if they don't like each other, but maybe they do?
Okay, well, it sounds like you're describing a classic romance trope, enemies to lovers, which is very much for better or worse, okay? So you're barking up the exact right tree.
Okay.
Look, the heart of romance novels, as you know, is that love story. So sort of like, you know, if the Gungan and the vampire hate each other, I guess I need to know why. And I also need to know, like, what they'll learn
from each other. It's like a cultural thing.
It's a cultural thing. Can we borrow something from Aaron's book here?
Yeah, I think so.
Do they work together?
Because they were in a baking competition.
Aaron's sort of a pioneer in that she introduced the first 69 in romance. Is there some, can we like follow suit? Can we also be like?
I'm just worried.
Aaron's like Elon. She sent up SpaceX and we can be like going up in our Blue Origin, you know?
Who are we at this? Are we?
We're Bezos.
Okay.
Well, you know, I've never read a Gungan horse vampire romance, so this could be the first of its kind.
Let me push back.
You don't want to introduce a sex move?
No, it's never been done in a romance book before? I do. I want nothing more than that. Oh, you know what we should do? Here's how we can beat Aaron. Oh. We have them do the reverse 69.
Wow.
They do the reverse 69. It's the first time.
They do a 96.
Okay, you named it.
Well,
I've been calling it the reverse 69.
I'm just calling it the 96. Okay.
We would be the first ever novel to have a reverse 69.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of what a 96 is.
We can't say it, but
I think it's how my wife and I sleep most nights.
Okay, all right. I don't need to know about your... But what I was going to say, pushing back, is I'm worried that a thing that's happened, and I understand this, is we've got so hung up on the mythology and the world building, and it's Gungans, it's horses, it's vampires, and there's a lot more, Aaron, we won't bore you with it. And then now we're just like skipping to the sex. And like, don't get me wrong, sex is an important part of a romance novel, but something we know, and having read Aaron's book, she doesn't start with 69ing. She builds.
We've got to build up to it. We got to simmer. Yeah. We got to get that pot on the stove and really.
And it's not all lore for you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's my play space. So
I think you both need to think about what's going to bring the Gungan and the vampire together. Like, what can they bond over? Like, what shared trauma do they have? Like, is it being bitten?
Probably the vampire war.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think you can build around
that. When the separatists attacked Naboo with all those droids.
Exactly. Like, they need to find common ground, you two. So, like, build that between your characters.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So maybe we can, like, have... He can be mad at the separatist movement?
They could be on separate sides of the movement and then come together for some... But that can be tricky, because how often do we read, really, and believe, like, for example, a Republican and Democrat romance, which... There have been a few of them, and it's a hard sell.
No, that's not. We're not.
No, I don't think we've read one of those. We read one where a man and a goblin fell in love.
Well, that makes more sense to me.
Tanner was in charge of picking the book, and he accidentally didn't pick a romance, but instead picked
I picked narrative. Something called a gamer-lit harem fic.
It's a porno for men. Like, definitely. Wow. It was not a romance.
Excellent.
It was about a man having intercourse with a goblin, mostly. Yeah. So let's not do that, with our book.
Yeah.
I think we'll find a reason for Lord Swolewood to be upset with the droid separatists.
Yeah, he's mad at his own people. That's good. Okay. We're going to have to do a lot of work on that, on the politics side of stuff.
Look, there's a lot of brainstorming. You need to do a lot of brainstorming here.
Mm-hmm. We don't have a lot of time left. I do need to tell you the titles of your sequels.
Yeah.
I've had other friends tell me the titles of my sequels, so I'm very excited to hear yours.
I'll just go through and you can just write them down. Yeah. Like, I feel like often our segments are like give and take.
Yeah.
In this case, I'm just going to tell you, and then you can write it down, and then that's going to be the titles of your sequels. Yeah.
Yeah.
So for Liquor for Poorer,
I love
this. Going to start, and it's all like liquor is also kind of sexy.
Uh huh. Well, what's interesting is that my sequel does involve a guy who's recently sober. So
maybe
this actually works.
I'll take 5 points on the back end, like nothing.
Yeah, right.
Almost enough point.
Yeah, I'll take a point.
I'll take a point.
I'll take a point. Tanner takes a point. I'll take a point. Okay, and then in biscuits and in health, I think. Right.
That sounds like there's for sure going to be a cat in it. That's what I'm thinking.
This is tough, but I think to love and to cherries.
Yeah,
that one's tough.
That's the best I could do.
It doesn't roll off the tongue as well, but I see it and I can think of a plot around it. So okay. I think someone's cherry is getting popped. I don't know.
Perfect. Yeah, that's sexy too. I hadn't thought of that. Yeah. That's sexy too. Yeah.
Okay.
And then we'll just finish up the series with Until Bread Do Us Part.
Ooh, I love that. I love that.
And then you can bring the butter back for that.
Right. Like, all bread needs butter, obviously.
Definitely.
Yeah, I love that last one. I'm probably going to use it. So
okay,
if you could cut
perfect.
This podcast before that comes out.
Yeah, so that that's perfect. Yeah, this is just us.
You guys can't sue me.
Because I know you know business.
Yeah.
You're good at business.
Wow. Thank you for doing my job for me.
Do you have any more?
No, that's it. That's what I came up with. I'm just trying to help.
There's other wedding ceremonies.
You could, there's other wedding stuff. Yeah. No, there's plenty more.
It's very hard to come up with these puns. It's not easy.
Well, it was easy for me, but
Jack made it look easy. Yeah.
One other quick question, a thing I noticed. It was really cool that I noticed that you had put some of your own life into the book, and you said, isn't that cool that you noticed that? And I noticed that you said that. And another thing I noticed is the subtle Ninja Turtles theme. And don't think I
didn't
see
it. Wow, thank you very much.
Don't think I didn't see it. And Tanner and I both know that 50 Shades of Grey was based on Twilight.
Yes.
And you've got this book where there's a guy called Leonardo, and he's the lead. He has to be the leader of his family, and he loves pizza.
Yeah,
and he has a therapist named Donna Tello. And let me read a passage to you, just in case it wasn't obvious, just for the folks who didn't catch it. Let me read this passage. Nina was supposed to be trimming flyaway edges from the fillet, but instead she'd nearly shredded it into oblivion. Oh, interesting. Wow. Nina is the shredder.
I know a guy who used to shred things into oblivion.
I know somebody who used to shred things into oblivion, and it was the Shredder.
What forum did you write your Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle fan fiction on?
Before it became this.
That this book was birthed out of.
This actually started as part of a Reddit thread where people were just kind of dream casting, like, kind of reboots that could be sexualized. And so my first thought, obviously, was the stud that was Shredder. And,
of course.
I just had to build a world around that.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
I don't think we ever got a really good look at Shredder. But...
I did in my mind, okay, Dan?
Yeah, okay.
It's called imagination, okay?
That's why you're the writer.
Look.
That's good, and this is good for you, too, when it gets made into a movie, because I think it was helpful to 50 Shades that it was like, oh, this is Twilight fanfic.
And I'll be like, look, this was Ninja Turtle
TMNT
fanfic
originally, and then I just, like, changed the
names. That's how Hollywood works. They need to know, like, well, what are my touch points? And
How am I going to sell this?
Yeah, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is, like, kind of rare. Like, I haven't really seen that done yet in rom-coms. Yeah. So.
That's really beautiful. Tanner, do you want to do our burns or do you want to go?
My burn's super long. It's essentially just like a chapter of Aaron's book.
We do not have time for that.
Okay. Well, then I guess we should skip burns this week. We usually do the best burns of the book, and we both rest
assured. And your book is full of burns. You know what? We'll leave it as a teaser. Folks, everybody buy and read Aaron's book. It's very good. It's very funny. It's very fun. There's lots of love in it. There's a fucking 69 in it. She doesn't do the reverse 69 because she's a pioneer, but she's not ready to go that far.
Right.
Yeah. Everybody read it, and there's lots of fun burns. They have, like, a lot of very funny repartee between each other. Initially, they don't like each other, but you know what? That changes.
Ooh, they really fall in love after that 69.
Boy, they have a happily ever after. It
seals the deal.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know.
Who wouldn't be?
Hopefully.
No. The book ends again after the hospital.
We'll find out in the sequel when he wakes up in the hospital, hopefully.
Speaking of happily ever after, I do have to say this now before I go into my outro, and you'll understand why later. At some point, there is a burn, which is that... Nina tries to introduce Leo into, like, he's like, she's a real chef and he just, like, runs a chain. And so she's trying to help him by introducing him into the, like, world of charcuterie.
Sophisticated restaurateurs.
Yes, into the world of charcuterie.
And she's like, oh, he runs Vinny's restaurant. And the fancy chef who she has introduced him to is like, oh, I think I went to a Vinny's. And then she's like, oh, wait, no, maybe that was an Applebee's. And that is a burn.
That is a really good burn.
And it's going to become relevant. I would like to thank you, Tanner, very much for bearing with me this week.
Okay.
I would like to thank you very much, Aaron. It is lovely to see you.
It's just a delight.
For coming on our show. I would like to say to everybody that you must subscribe to our Patreon. We have a Patreon. It's patreon.com/BSCC podcast. And we talk about the TGIF shows, don't we, Tanner?
We do talk about the TGIF shows. We have a lot of fun out there. Sometimes we talk about must-see TV when there's baseball on.
Yeah. Everybody join. It's important that you have to do it. And please join our Facebook group. It's Baby Nation on Facebook. And I have a newsletter. Subscribe to my newsletter. It's called onwards.substack.com. And I write about words. Onwards.substack.com. And Tanner has another podcast. Do you want
to
say it?
I have another podcast. It's about Pokemon. Go listen to it. It's called Experience Share. expsharepod.com.
Aaron, folks need to buy your book. How can they find you?
I am at Aaron LaRosa Lit on Instagram and Twitter. And my TikTok is Aaron LaRosa Writes. And I do a lot of videos about the Great British Bake Off. So if you're into that, please follow me and we can talk.
Please follow Aaron. Please buy her wonderful book.
Oh, thank you.
All that remains now is for me to say that this week we read a novel. The novel that we read was For Better or Worse by Aaron LaRosa. Next week, we're going to be watching a big movie. It's called Can't Hardly Wait.
Oh, wow.
With Seth Green.
Oh, finally. So fabulous. Excited about this one.
Yeah.
This week, I have been Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name is Tanner Greenring.
I'm Aaron LaRosa.
And I hope that you find your Applebee's ever after.
Well, you had to do your burn just really so you could off. Do your Applebee's Ever After joke. We might be childhood friends.